You know, just thinking about the message this morning, and I had started something that I hadn't realized that I started, and that's giving you the names of God. I think the last time I spoke, I told you Jehovah Nissi, and this Lord our banner. But this morning, I chose this particular name of God. But you know, some of the healthiest people you know may be in the need of, maybe the most in need of a healing. Today I'm going to give you and share with you God's plan to unpollute our bitter lives this morning. I don't know, but there's always someone in here that needs a healing from, whether it be social, emotionally, or mentally, you need a healing this morning. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, is taken from a situation, but it was taken from a situation coming off of a great miracle. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter, and beginning with verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. See, we know about the story of the Red Sea. The Red Sea was when Israel found themselves in a bad situation. We like to say between a rock and a hard place. They were in a bad place. Pharaoh was coming at them from behind, and the Red Sea was in front of them. You can't move forward. You can't go back. You are stuck right where you are. I don't know whether anyone is going through anything special in their life today, but you just feel stuck right where you are. Everything that you try to do look like it's blocked. You can't turn around because it's blocked. You can't go forward because everything is just blocked right now. But I'd guarantee if you turn it over to the Lord this morning, you will walk out of here healed this morning. You know, you find yourself, they found themselves in a situation and God was seen to be nowhere around to perform that miracle. But then out of nowhere, God performed a miracle. That is when you really know that it's God, because there is no human explanation for me to get out of this mess except through the miraculous intervention of God. God opened up the Red Sea, and they did what we all the time do when we receive a miracle. They got their praise on. And they had a praise service. In the beginning of this chapter, Moses opened up with a song, the song about the goodness of God. And in verse 19, it says, "For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea." They were walking in the middle of their problem. The woman's fellowship, I started to say the women's fellowship, Linda's women's fellowship, but the women's fellowship of Israel got together. And in verse 20, Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the cymbals, not cymbals, tambourines in her hands. And all the women went out with tambourines with their dancing. In other words, God has done marvelous things for them. But right after coming through the Red Sea, verse 22 says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." You know, it's something how God can create such a miraculous work in our life, and we turn around and only 3 days has gone going by, and we have a tendency that we've forgotten about what God has already done because, you know, we are looking for something else. Nobody in their right mind wants to go through a wilderness, but there was no other way to get to Canaan. So they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water, but they were looking for water because you can't sustain yourself for a long time without water. So they were desperately in need of water to refresh themselves after just coming out of a great miracle 3 days earlier. Now, when they came to Marah, verse 23 says, when they came to Marah. Well, I'll stop there for a moment. Now, I know how excited they must have been, because when they looked up and saw water, after 3 days of having no water, and all of a sudden, water, they came to Marah, but they could not see the rest of verse 23 yet. See, when you're walking and you're parched, you've been walking 3 days in the desert, hot, dry land, and you look from a distance, you see water. Man, you start praising God, oh, thank you, Lord, that water. And you finally rush off to the water just to find out something else. And that's when the end of verse 23 come about. Remember, they had been 3 days without water. And then they come up to on some water. And as they came closer and closer to the water, I just can hear them now. Isn't God good? They are looking for water, praying for water, and finally they come upon water just to discover that the water was undrinkable. The water was bitter. It is polluted in some way, and they could not drink it. They are coming from a miracle, talking about the Red Sea, and it looked like God had supplied water, but it was bitter. It was undrinkable. So they did what the things that we always do when things don't work out in our lives. And verse 24 says, so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Don't miss this. The miracle and the problem were both dealing with the same thing, water. They have just come through water, but they're now coming up on a water problem. They have already seen what God can do with water. They saw how God took water and worked it all out. So they came over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea on dry land. 3 days go by without water. They run into a water problem. The question is, why are they grumbling? They are grumbling because they have a problem with no visible solution. They have a problem with no visible solution. This really shouldn't be a problem, because they had just come out of a problem 3 days ago with no physical, visual solution. And the sea before them, the Red Sea, opened up. You know, it doesn't take long to forget what God can do, because it doesn't take long to forget what God has already done. They both involved the same problem. They both were en route to their future, having just come off of their praise, and they ran into a dilemma, and things had gotten bitter. I know that you all are not bitter here this morning, maybe because of a little problems that you're going through, and I'm just not talking to you, I'm calling the two little things that be not as though they were. When you run into problems and situations, y'all are not bitter, because right now, life doesn't taste good. Life isn't working out for you. But see, when you get to that bitter, y'all not going to give up. Y'all going to keep on pushing. Let me tell you why. They were allowed to go through this problem because at the end of verse 25, it says, there he made for them a statute and regulations, and there he tested them. Marah was all about a test. Water was simply the means of testing. 3 days earlier, God had delivered them some information. The information he delivered to them 3 days earlier is, when you face a water problem, I am able to intervene in your water problem. And through means you have not predicted, through means you know not of or anticipated, I can address water issues in your life. 3 days later, he lets them face a water problem because he had just given them water lessons. Whenever you face a test, notice that they are in the wilderness, in the will of God. Moses, based on God's dealing, led them into the wilderness, because you can be in God's will and still be in a wilderness. Because God said it was a test. Even though you got the test, you're still in God's will, because he placed you, he carried you through that path for a reason, for two things. First, to see if you are paying attention on whether you are just saying, oh, amen, or just nodding your head. Secondly, tests are designed to give you the opportunity for God to unveil something new about himself to you that you have never seen before, known about, or understood. Myra was a test. What they looked at was the circumstances. What they did not see, it was the test. So their first response was to complain, to grumble. Verse 25 begins with, "Then he cried out," he being Moses, "cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet." That is a strange, unorthodox way to unpollute polluted water. But again, splitting the Red Sea was a strange and unorthodox way of getting them over the water. When God puts you in a situation where you see no way out, it is because he doesn't want you to see a way out. Because at the Red Sea, there was no way out. They could see no solution. They said, "Moses, you brought us out here to die." He didn't let them see it because he didn't want them to see it, because he didn't want it seen. He didn't want to show them what's going to happen. And the reason he didn't want it seen is because he wanted to show up, show out, and show off in a way that they could only give God the credit for resolving this bad situation that they find themselves in. So he lets them go through 3 days without water and leads them to a place that is without resolution. There is no visible solution to this problem. I don't know how you are going to fix the problem. "Lord, I can't see my way through. I can't see how this thing is going to work out. But, you know, but I know some way, shape, or form, I know you're going to work it out. Because I don't see no way it can be fixed." And you know that Moses doesn't know because he cries out to the Lord. He didn't know no way out. But he did what we would do, cry out to the Lord. We did what we were supposed to do or should do, and that is cry out to the Lord. And in a strange way, he showed him a tree or a limb or from a tree, and he says, "Throw it into the water." So they get another miracle 3 days later when they cried out unto the Lord. And that leads to his name. Verse 26, "And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." That is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. He uses this water to teach them a lesson. And the lesson was about his name. And his name, Jehovah Rapha, "I am the Lord, your healer." I told Moses to throw a tree in the water. It became sweet. It became better than Deer Park bottled spring water. This is sweet water, nice water, excellent water, perfect water, water with some flavor. In other words, God turned that thing around, and what was polluted and bitter became unpolluted, usable, and fresh. But God wanted them to understand that he didn't just send them through that test just so they can get water. He said, "I sent you through the test so you can learn something new about me." I want to tell you a name I have never told you before. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, so that I can give you a point of reference for my name. In verse 26, he also says, "I will put none of these diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. I am the Lord, your healer." He said, "All that mess that you left in Egypt, called the 10 plagues, I put them on the Egyptians. That was me and me alone. But I don't want you in that polluted mess. I don't want that I gave the Egyptians. I come for my people. I don't want you to suffer the plagues and the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. I don't want you to have to go through what the unrighteous went through. I don't want you to go through what the sinners went through," talking about the Egyptians. "All of these diseases I don't want you to be a part in your life." Why? Because I am the Lord, your healer. The question is, why was Egypt full of disease? It was because Egypt was full of adultery. I think Pastor Scott mentioned something about idolatry last week. having idols in your life. But because they, Egypt, hadn't left their God for the true God, and the results were having false gods were, I'm going to put these 10 plagues that fell upon them. But what they went through, you shouldn't have to be, or shouldn't be going through. Why? Because I am the true and living God. I am the God you should be serving. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. To put it another way, it is possible for God's people to be going through the same hardships of the unrighteous. That is, when we adopt the world's view, when we adopt the idolatry, the mindset, and the lifestyles of the unrighteous. Just because you are saved doesn't keep you from that disease. When you adopt their perspective, their worldview, some of us shouldn't be going through the stuff that the unsaved relatives are going through. When the Bible talks about God's healing, he is talking about it in relationship to the sin that caused the problem in the first place. The Bible talks about the death of Jesus Christ addressing sin, therefore healing our sickness. In Psalms 103 and 3, he says, "The Lord who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Where will you be stricken again as you continue your problem, your rebellion?" Verse 6, "From the sole of the feet even to the head." The Bible says in James 5:14, "Is any among you sick? He must then call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him." And at the end of verse 15, it says, "And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him." And in verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Sometimes you're getting sick because, where's Sister Robin in here? Sometimes you're getting sick because you're old. That explains what's happening with me. All right, Robin. Sometimes you get sick because there are things in the air that you have no control over that affects your body physically. But the sickness he is talking about here, the disease he is talking about here, that he put on the Egyptians, because the Egyptians were in rebellion against him. So that idolatry, having idols, that Pastor Scott spoke on last week, that brings sickness and disease that you're not supposed to have. So some of the stuff that is wrong with us physically, mentally, emotionally, should not be wrong with us if we were paying attention to his laws, his statutes, and his commandments. But because we have turned from him, verse 26 says, he says, "And none of these I will put on you." He says, none of these things that I have authorized to be placed on Egyptians shouldn't be placed on you, because I am the Lord, your healer. I am Jehovah Rapha. God says, the lesson I want to teach you at Myra is, if you will follow my instructions, my ways, according to my guidelines, you will get my healing. He also gave them an object lesson. He said, Moses, take the tree and throw it in the water. Now, I know you don't understand that kind of medicine. They don't teach that in medical college. If you work for a purification plant, that is none of the things that they're going to teach you. Well, the water needs to be purified, so take a tree and throw it in the water. No, they don't teach you that. That's ludicrous. That's too worldly for them, because it doesn't go along with what is acceptable when it comes to purifying water. He said, but I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer, and even this is a very strange approach. But I want you to take my approach and watch what I can do with your bitter situation. The water became sweet, better than expected. The lesson at Myra is, I am your healer. They needed to get healed from bitter water. If life turns bitter on you, you want to make sure you are operating under his statutes, under God's ordinances, and under his commandments. even when it seems a little strange, even when it doesn't make sense. In Jeremiah 8 and 22, he asks, is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, is there no physicians there to heal me? Something to restore my health? To make me better? The key to your healing is your submission to divine authority based on His word, addressing anything in your lives that is in contradiction to His word. That is the key. The key to your lost situation, the key to your lost circumstance, the key to your healing has already been deposited in the statutes and commandments and the ordinances and the illumination that they give. What you will often find in the Word is a backup principle. But what you will find in the Holy Spirit is the illumination to a specific application. The Bible will not always give you a specific application. It will give you the undergirding principle confirming the illumination to a specific application that the pharmacy gives based on what the doctor has prescribed. So God, the doctor, writes the word, the written word. But the pharmacist writes down on a piece of paper, he will tell you to take one tablet twice a day for a specific application, for your situation. The Holy Spirit will illuminate. It will illuminate the specific application, which may be difficult, maybe different tomorrow when you run into another problem, but it will all be based on a prescription that is written. It will be based on what the Holy Spirit illuminates in your life, will be based on the written word of God. God can turn bitter into sweet. And this is in verse 27, in conclusion, it says, then they came to Elim, where there are 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Now, that may not make a lot of sense to you, but let me explain it to you a little bit better. 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Now, if you think about it, we started with water. There at the Red Sea, there was no way out. We went to problem water, talking about Mara, to see if we have learned a lesson from the Red Sea water. When God gave them a principle, then gave him his name, I am the Lord your healer, Jehovah Rapha, the next place they ran into was Elim, with 12 springs of water and 70 date trees. He didn't let them go to Elim by skipping Mara. He didn't let them go to Elim. That was the next stop. They would never have gotten to Elim until they learned the lesson at Mara. And look at what they found in Elim. They found 12 springs of water. There are 12 tribes in Israel. And so that meant that each tribe had their own spring. Now, a spring is water flowing. The spring water keeps flowing, and the water that keeps flowing stays fresh. And God delivered them at the Red Sea. He taught them at Mara, but then he showed that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think at Elim. He led them through from deliverance to see that I have come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. If you are saying, God, I can't get to Elim. If you're saying that in your mind right now, I'm telling you that it's possible for you to get to Elim. It's because you haven't learned anything at Mara. And when I said that second problem after God just delivered them from water, by parting the Red Sea, and he purposely put their steps into a dry place for 3 days, and he taught them a lesson at Mara. Instead of them grumbling and complaining, and just like we always do, God just blessed us yesterday, and here it is today, I got another problem, and God, I am mad, I'm sick, I'm disgusted, I don't see no way out. You forgot all about what he has already done for you just a short while ago. But until you learn that problem at Mara, you're not going to see Elim. But God is saying, as soon as I can get your attention at Mara, I'd love to take you to Elim, where you will have your own spring. And he said, he says, a private spring for you. God has got your own spring. But not only did he have their own spring, they had 70-day trees. What about the 70-day trees? They had shade cover. They covered them with the shade trees. And they had something to eat. They nibbled on God's goodness the whole time that they were there. See, God says, I have a lot more from you, but you are sick, the disease that you possibly have, because you're in rebellion against me. He said, but I got another test for you. If you pass that test, look, once you learn that, we're on the way to Elam. And when I get to the Elam, he says, you don't have to worry about it, because I had your own personal spring. You know, God is good. He is good. He got your own spring there. They had 70-day trees, and they had shade, and they had some covering while they nibbled on the goodness of God. It is nice to know that the God who delivered me, who is going to teach me at Mara and tell me that he is my healer, he has something better for me if I keep on keeping on. In John 7:38, it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So I'm telling you, if you haven't started, I'm telling you to hurry up and hurry up as fast as you can, as soon as you can. I want you to learn at Mara, so you can make your way to Elam, and you will be able to set under your own shade tree, draw water from your own spring, and talk about the goodness of the Lord while you are yet living. I can tell you that you haven't seen anything yet. God is good in the midst of our struggles, our hurts, our pains, and our circumstances. But God says, once you have learned, I have overcome all of these things, but once you have learned that Mara, he says, I just can't wait for you to get to Elam. See, church, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how your problems, I know it seems serious. We if you put yourself in Israel in their shoes, we act the same way today. You know, God just something that we had no idea we won't get out that way. And God just dropped something, and you found out he opened up the Red Sea for you, and you came across that problem. But see, what it is, we don't thank God. You know, once we, I said one time, we have treat God like a spare tire. You know, we got a problem, we got a situation. Lord, I got a flat tire, and no way in the world I can pick up that tire and walk and push that car along. But let me go in the trunk. I think I need you right now, God. So you go in there and get God out your trunk and fix that tire. And God, and then once you start rolling along, you forget all about what God has done, because you don't run into another problem. See, God is going to test you. If he worked tremendous, wonderful miracles in your life, don't think, because he don't want you to forget him. He wants you to remember what he has done. That will give you strength to get to this problem that you are at now, the situation or circumstances that you're troubling, that's bothering you now. Y'all remember, oh, Lord, I remember that. You know, you had that pain in me and in my leg, and I was down for about 3 months. I couldn't walk, couldn't lay down, couldn't sit down, couldn't do anything. And then, God, I know that you, one morning, you just healed me. So what I did, I got in my car and was able to drive and able to stop. And I parked in the rear of the parking lot just so I can have the pleasure of walking to the front of the store. Man, that thing, I praise Lord all that week. Y'all don't know. And then I got in the store. Man, I was just walking, strutting, just believing God. And another little girl, no sooner than I walked in the door, a girl, she was having problems, and I knew her because she worked there. And I was talking to her and getting her to believe in God, and praying for a situation. And that didn't take but a moment. And she walked, I went on down the aisle, and all of a sudden it struck me again. I mean, the pain was just as bad. I had to catch myself. I'm glad I didn't knock the whole shelf over. But I had to catch myself. And I said, Satan, you a lie. What God has already healed me through this. And right now, I am healed. And I began to hop along and push. By the time I got to the end of the aisle, it was back to normal again. But see, I don't care where I go. I remember that. I had situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance. Serious stuff had come up. But I remember what the Lord had done. So I know that he can do it again. Why? Because I call on his name. I call on his name every day. And you know, it's not the sin part that bothers me, because every morning, every day, I says, God, anything I done, said, thought, I repent of those things. I start my day afresh. And that stuff is something that become automatic. It should be automatic in your life. Because God, those 10 plagues that I put on the Egyptians, he said, they weren't for you. They weren't for children of God. But when we rebel and have idols and begin to leave the true and the living God, and not thinking for what he had brought us through, we mumble and grumble about things when we're faced with another problem, forgetting all that he had done. God says, these things going to happen to you. Church, God is good. And the thing that we have to know, if it's for everybody, but especially those members at God's Miracle Church, we have got to get in the habit, do it so much that it becomes automatic, to believe in God's statutes, to believe in his word. We pray, it's a call for the elders of the church. We're here. And you just pray for anything that you're going through. And he says, if there's any sin involved, it will be revealed to them. So that is a serious thing. And not saying any of y'all now, don't get me wrong, but if it applies to you, take heed. Learn from your situation. Go back to the last miracle God has brought in your life. You couldn't give nobody else credit but God, because you were going downhill fast. God could only reach his hand down far enough to bring you up. And see, just think about it. Remember that miracle? How many times have you known you stepped into something and forgot about that miracle? God says, nah, you can't do that. We are all going to Elam. We are all going to Elam, where we have our own water. That's the Holy Spirit that's living deep inside of us to lead and guide us to all truth. That water, that spring that's bubbling up in us, that spring, that life-giving life, that life-giving water that God has says, I will not leave you comfortless, but he left with us the Holy Spirit. Just bathe in him. Just let him speak to you. Keep quiet for a while so you can hear his voice. God is good. Anyone here that's suffering from sickness this morning,